Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
To talk sports.
Well, let's just ask John which one he uses.
I go with Sprite. Sprite is my favorite mixer. I use Sprite. It's great with vodka. I like it with whiskey. I like it with rum. Sprite is the more versatile.
You're going to do this again?
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cam, think of this as the coin toss, right? Think of this as the coin toss in the
no,
NFL.
That's not
he
how this
chose
works.
To defer, which means I get the ball.
Because everybody who knows you are a Sprite and
exactly.
Whiskey guy.
Sprite.
Which is why
Sprite
I chose
with
Sprite as the topic.
Are you going to argue for Coke or not?
No, I'm not going to argue for Coke.
So Sprite's
when
better.
Do we typically
I've been
decide?
Sprite with my volunteer vodka. It's delicious. You can't mix Coke with vodka. If I want some whiskey, I'm in a whiskey mood. You know I can also mix it with? Sprite
on 1340 WKGN.
Defend your topic, please. We're running out of time.
I prefer Coke as a mixer with any alcohol. It's going to keep you up longer throughout the night, give you more energy. Coke, much, much better as a mixer than soda. Soda's bad for you. I don't know if you knew this. If you just stick to Coke and vodka, lessens the calories, keeps you up longer throughout the night, you have a much better time. More of a party if you go Coke over Sprite. And you're bound to attract more women.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour 3 headlines brought to you by Crown Cleaners. Still time to take advantage of Starch Madness through the end of the month. Just go by either of the two Crown Cleaners locations, one on Bearden Hill, one on North Shore Drive. Take in 3 dress shirts and get the 4th laundered for free. Go to fanrunradio.com, click on the Starch Madness logo. From there, just print off the coupon. Stick it in with your shirts before they're picked up, or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry. To Crown Cleaners, support Fan Run Radio by supporting our locally owned sponsors. Crown Cleaners has been Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 50 years. Starch Madness, time's running out. Get there by the end of the month. We appreciate them for their support. Support the people who support us. Our 3 headlines, what do you got for us, Hodden?
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The PGA Tour is strongly encouraging its players and caddies to get COVID-19 vaccines. They sent a memo this morning that outlined how they will eventually stop on-site testing while also attempting to debunk some of the myths associated with these shots. They included a list of like talking points in this memo that ESPN obtained somehow. It says, just talking about how the COVID vaccine has been administered by over 700 million people worldwide, so on and so forth, pretty much. So what they're saying is those who get the shot won't have to be tested like when they arrive on site 72 hours before like they have been.
Okay.
Pretty much. So you think that like it's going to change things in pro sports for that or no?
I mean, so golf is just basically encouraging them, right? Like
they're not mandating it. It says they're not mandating it, but
I just don't think any
giving
sports
like incentives.
I
stuff?
Don't think any sports league will
pretty
be
much.
Able to mandate it.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with the NFL. Those coaches, right? They said if you didn't get the shot, you couldn't be on the field with the coach. Or
that's the strongest stance that anybody's had against it so far.
But people,
that I've seen.
I saw NFL writers saying, "Yeah, expect lawyers to get involved from these coaches." So we'll see, like if that even gets. You know, gets put into effect.
It's like I think the NBA announced today that like you hadn't been allowed to go overseas to scout players and stuff for a while, but they said if you're vaccinated, they will allow you to start doing that now. So another incentive there for some of those scouts and stuff to get vaccinated in NBA.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Okay, next headline. We have an MLB draft rankings 2.0. Just came out today.
Okay.
We got some Tennessee players in here. Would you like to know who they are, John?
Yes.
You would. Okay. This guy who's did this article ranked the top 100 players for this upcoming draft. Coming in at number 7, somebody who's not even on Tennessee's team yet, John. Brady House. He's a shortstop from Winderboro High School in Georgia. He's a Tennessee commit, number 7th ranked player, though, so I seriously doubt he'll be on the team next year, John.
What high school was that?
Winderboro.
I've never even heard of that one.
So Tennessee is doing a good job recruiting, but too good of a job, it sounds like.
Yeah. And then the only other person they have here on the top 100 list is Max Ferguson.
Winder.
Yeah, maybe it's Winder.
No, yeah, it's Winder.
Yeah. Did you see that catch? It just reminds me. Did you see that catch Mookie Betts made?
Yeah, it was so sweet.
Was it on Friday or Saturday?
I don't know which day it was. It was very sweet, though.
Yeah. I think it was Saturday. That was pretty damn good. Game on the line. Up 2. Runners on 2nd and 3rd.
Should have won the MVP last year. Sam. Facts.
Acuna seems like he's going to win MVP this year, right?
He got hurt.
Yeah. That's not funny.
Yeah, it is.
He has had a tummy ache, right?
I don't know.
Like, didn't they say like it was?
They said something about his lower abdominal strain or something like that.
So you want Acuna to be hurt? Is that what you're going to sit here and say?
I just think it's funny.
It seems like somebody would be really good for the sport of baseball.
He's a good player. But
he's a great player.
I will say, it does seem like Braves pitching is kind of the problem. I don't know. It seems like somebody said that last week, but I don't know. Half the Braves are on IL right now, so.
All right, next headline.
Wait, we weren't done with this one yet.
Oh, sorry.
The number 80th player on the list is Max Ferguson. So we cracked the top 100 with one of our players, John.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. See, there's not much headlines after this.
Draven sent you a headline, didn't
he? Oh, yeah, Draven did. Let's see.
So Draven's doing your job for you while he's at home?
Well.
He's powering through that tummy ache.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I'll let you guess on what it's related to, semi.
So the Braves are waiting on an MRI. So they're still waiting on an MRI for Acuna. At least that was as of, I guess, 11:15 a.m., according to John Heyman.
Okay, yeah, here's a headline Draven said in. John, do you have any idea what it's to do with?
I'm going to assume the Cowboys.
Yes, that is correct.
Kind of.
This is breaking news. NFL player Alden Smith is wanted in a New Orleans suburb of, what is this? What is St. Beek of? St. Bernard Parish.
It's just like,
it's like their counties down there, right? Yeah. He's wanted by the sheriff and district attorney, John.
It's sad to see. I can hear Draven smiling as he sends that.
I know.
It's sad that he was rooting against Alden Smith, who just had a good season for him.
You really think he's rooting against him?
Why else would he send that?
Just
by the way,
like nobody's been announcing that. And
which by the way, Tweeter writes in, wants to know your thoughts on about Steven Strasburg being back on the injured list.
Listen, John, don't even get me started on that. All right, we had a chance to sign him or Anthony Rendon, which Rendon's on the injured list too right now. We signed Steven Strasburg. He's in the second year of his 7-year, $245 million deal. And you know what? He's hurt again. He's pitched 4 games since he signed that deal. He pitched 1 game last year and then 1 inning, or so 1.1 games last year. And then he pitched good the first game this year. He threw a one-hitter. Still lost that game, by the way. And he got, like, absolutely destroyed in St. Louis. I think it's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, so believe me. Yeah, I'm pretty angry about that, John.
So those are your thoughts on it?
I mean, we should have signed Rendon, but Rendon is on the injured list right now instead of Strasburg. So we got 5 more years, so hopefully he can stay healthy one of those 5 years.
Okay.
He's just been injury prone since we drafted him. It pisses me off.
All right.
Draft better.
You out of headlines?
No, I got one right here. Let's see here. We got NBA power rankings. Let's see what they got here. There's not much going on here today, John, after this, after what I've already listed off here. Who do you think is number one?
I got one
it's
for
the
you.
76ers.
If you want one.
Pretty easy.
No, I want to hear Hayden do it.
Okay. NBA power rankings?
There's not much left here on the old headlines page. Oh, here, hold on. That's fine. Cam, you stall for a second. I'll find something.
Oh, I got a headline.
No. I want to hear Hayden do his job.
This is not my job. I filled in pretty well, John.
You've done okay.
I got all my good stories out the first time, you know.
Well, that's a part of being good at headlines. You have to know how to space them out. You don't want to peek too early. Trust me. Cam asked if you want to help. You said, no, I got it. That's why I keep telling Cam that, no, we don't need his headlines because you said you had it.
Kind of got it out there too early, you know. Too quick.
I don't think you've hit that Jose Mourinho has been fired by Tottenham.
Who the hell is that? I guess soccer.
Former coach of Tottenham.
Manager, I believe.
Manager, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
They announced the Super League. He's like, we got money now. We can get rid of this guy.
I got one. Here we go. Good one to end the headlines on here. A family scenic route home from vacation leads to 777,777.
Is this the end of the show?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I found this. 6 7s, pretty much. Bunch of 770,777.
Leads to what?
That's how much money they got. Lottery ticket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, lottery ticket on the way home from their vacation.
Okay. All right.
A lot of sevens, John. It was a lot of sevens. It's
the
hard
whole
to read.
Approach to that headline.
Okay, let's go to break. It's Talk Sports.
I do see the Tottenham news now, though. Thank you.
It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, have we missed anything so far? Anything we need to get to? Tennessee baseball drops a series to Vandy, but stays in the top 10.
Yep.
We were going to talk about this NFL mock draft, and then I just found out it was 6 days old.
Yep. Haynes been trying to get me to talk about this new mock draft. It's 6 days old.
Broncos are apparently high on a couple of the quarterbacks, so they've been on the phone with the Falcons as a report that's came out, but
so the Broncos are going to try to move up.
Yeah, apparently they have been on the phone. So apparently they really like Field and Lance. So I'm sure there's people at Lance's pro day today, as he's doing his second pro day, and we'll kind of see where it falls there. Because
so I guess everyone's doing second pro days now because there's no combine, right?
Yeah, that's why.
Are they doing different stuff or just getting different? Team personnel there.
Usually it's a little both. Like, usually they do try to add in some different stuff. Like, if they ran and stuff at the first one, obviously not really going to run again at the second one. They, like, quarterback-wise, they're just doing more throws, maybe a different variety of throws, stuff like that. Like, at Fields' second pro day, he was incorporating a lot of, like, Shanahan's offense in the stuff he was doing because, 49ers had the third pick. So he was, trying to show off some of that stuff like that. So, not sure exactly what Lance is incorporating today, but, yeah, he's getting some more throws under his belt. And, yeah, the NFL, you can only send 3 people to these pro days because of the COVID protocols and things like that. So, like, for example, the Falcons have sent 3 different people to this pro day than they did the first one just to get more eyes on the guy and, get a perspective from all your offensive or scouts and quarterback coaches and things like that. So,
what is Shanahan's offense just like? Play action?
Yeah, it's a West Coast kind of zone run. Play action's a big part of it, but yeah, zone run scheme, West Coast mobility is useful and stuff like that. So, Fields and Lance should be guys that they're definitely looking at, and they still got that rumor that Mac Jones is the guy that they're looking at. I don't think that's happening.
It's still wild to me that they're letting John Elway make these decisions.
Yeah, I feel like his track record isn't great. Like, you go back the past few, like, what are some quarterbacks? Like, Osweiler, Paxton Lynch.
Like, he has, Lynch, he has help now, right?
Yeah, I think there's...
Like,
yeah.
He's not the one, like, calling the shots anymore, right? They demoted him in sorts.
Yeah, yeah. He's not the sole decision-maker anymore.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah, so... a little progress.
How much things have changed since last offseason when we were crowning Drew Lock coming into the season?
There was no we.
Well, not we, but the public was.
Yeah.
George Patton's the GM now of like the Broncos, and I think he's the one that's been the guy on the phone lines. But yeah, Drew Lock, people were hyping Drew Lock up.
Yeah.
It's I don't get it. I don't get it. Narrative's changed so much though, so
Ken, this mock draft here has the Dolphins trading with Atlanta.
I don't understand why.
You don't think that's going to happen?
Why
or
would
no?
they do that? It just
they want Kyle Pitts, is what it says.
They should have stayed at 3 then.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
What would it take to get up 2 spots, though?
Not a ton. Like, they still would gain, you know, capital, you know, from the original trade, but they traded back and then back up again. Like, if you trade it, like, I don't.
Well, they trade up 2 spots with Atlanta. Like, what would the price be like? I mean, a second round pick?
Probably.
Third round pick,
yeah.
Because if you're Atlanta, your pick would be a little bit cheaper, and you'd still get the quarterback. Because I mean, if they take Kyle Pitts, we know Cincinnati's not taking Kyle Pitts. I guess theoretically, someone could trade with Cincinnati, but if I'm Cincinnati, I probably wouldn't want to move back. I'd rather just grab Sewell.
Yeah, you would think so, or Chase even too. If you're still loving that a little bit, but like, yeah, it wouldn't be a high asking price. It just doesn't make sense to me why. Like, obviously, they traded all the way back to 12 and then instantly traded back up to 6.
That was assuming that the Dolphins would be trading back up for Pitts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do they have him on FanDuel right now as his projected, as his over-under of draft position?
That is a good question. I remember Fields was at about 3.5.
Which I'm taking the over on that. I don't think he's going in the top 3. You had, was it Lombardi that came out and said...
You don't think he'd go to the Niners at 3?
You had, I think it was Lombardi that came out and basically just said, it could have been Florio, I don't know, but one of them was like, 100% San Francisco is not taking Justin Fields.
Okay. Kyle Pitts is at 5.5. If you take over 5.5, you get plus 128.
So the under probably like what, 142, something like that?
156.
Oh, okay, I guess they got the... Draft odds even juiced up a little bit more than usual.
Yeah,
it's just straight going to the 4 pick. Pretty much, he won't go 5.
He could go 5.
You think the Bengals would take him?
Maybe. I mean, they don't have a tight end really on their roster. They had C.J. Uzama was their guy last ACL, year. He got injured. Yeah. So
I mean, are we not at the point right now where we think that
they don't have receivers really either? So he's a dual
right
for them.
Are we not at the point where we think that Kyle Pitts is better than Jamar Chase at this point?
It seems to be trending that way. In
as a prospect, I mean,
yeah. Jamar Chase is also at 5.5 on his draft spot. So
I'm going over on
some people have Kyle Pitts as the number 2 overall player.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like he's past Jamar Chase. So if you view Kyle Pitts, I've heard many NFL people make this case, but like if you have a problem drafting a tight end, can't you just put wide receiver next to his name?
Yeah, honestly.
Like if Kyle Pitts was listed as a wide receiver, would it be weird if they take a wide receiver at number 5?
Nope. And yeah, that's the thing. And like Hayden said, I've seen a lot of stuff where people have Kyle Pitts is, like, you know, a lot of people have Lawrence already crossed out on their board because you know where he's going. But a lot of people have Kyle Pitts as, like, the highest guy on their board, definitely the highest, you know, non-quarterback on their board. So, I mean, yeah, if you want the best non-quarterback, I mean, he's supposed to be the guy. Yeah, 5.5, huh?
I don't know where.
Sewell also at 5.5.
This mock draft has the top 2 rounds, and it does not have Miami trading a first or second round pick for that 4 pick.
Well, I mean,
those
it might
guys
be
don't know what they're doing.
It might be a future one next year.
Yeah. Oh, it could like be. That. It could be. Yeah.
Which again, if you're moving down 2 spots, it might not take much.
Yeah.
If Atlanta still thinks they can get the guy they
want, I'm assuming you'd have better offers from like, you know, like Denver or somebody trying to jump up. And if you're okay with like going back that far, I feel like that's the preferred trade you would take.
Has it been put to bed that Atlanta would take a quarterback? Like, Atlanta's not taking a quarterback, right?
I would say it's still up in the air. I mean,
to me it feels like Atlanta, you can go ahead and close the book on
that. It's just so conflicted because the GM wants to And then head coach doesn't. And, you know, head coach is usually win now kind of person. The GM has to plan for the future. So there's a little conflict there. Don't know if they love any of the guys, though. That's the thing, is if they don't love Lance or Fields or whoever's sitting there, may not go one. But I think it's way more likely that they're going to trade back than anything. I would lean that route. I'd probably lean that route. If San Francisco does take Mac Jones at 3, I think that changes a lot. I think that changes a lot of stuff, because I think Fields is almost more desirable than Lance. Still in the NFL, like, you know, he's been sliding down these boards, but I think in NFL circles he's still right up there, you know, as a prospect.
I saw the stat where Trey Lance has like the most passing attempts without an interception in college or something like that.
Yeah, he went a whole season without an interception.
Like, has he never thrown one?
He threw one in that one game they played like this past year.
I want to say that's not one of his career, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Interesting. But he also only played one full season.
Yeah, but sure, going through a full season with no interceptions is pretty damn
good. It's impressive, but that was the first one he had thrown.
And his actual like stats on his like sports reference page don't even have this year's stats for one game. It just still has him as 28 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. Hell of a ratio, obviously.
What was Fields over under? Was it 3.5? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm taking the over on that.
Me too.
You said Pitts is 5.5.
Trey Lance is at 6.5.
About that.
Plus, 6.5. Ooh wee. Interesting.
I mean, I would think there's going to be a fourth quarterback take at number 4. It would be surprising to me if Atlanta stayed at 4. Although they could just take Pitts and say, hey, we're going to take our chance with the best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm. It's very possible. I have no reference point because it's an entirely new, you know, like front office. So I don't know their draft style. I don't think anybody really does. So they're just kind of a wild card right now sitting there. And we all know quarterbacks are going 1-3. And Falcons basically the gate holder to the rest of the draft. So it's going to be interesting.
Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Coming up next, let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Does your business need stories?
Before we get to winners and losers of the weekend, I want to remind you that this Saturday from 12 to 3:30, the Fan Run Radio crew will be at the Old City Sports Bar, partnered up with Outkick. Clay Travis and the guys, come by, see us, get set for the orange and white game. Excitement is in the air. The first look at Josh Heupel's offense.
Ooh.
In a game situation.
Ooh, the quarterbacks, all 8 of them.
Well, no, that's not true, because the one you took today won't be there, and your freshman 4-star that you're excited about won't be there either. True. So, no, just the other 3 guys. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cameron, please hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cam, who do you have winning this weekend?
All right, my number 3 winner of the weekend, I gave it to South Dakota State football. They beat North Dakota State, snapping one of their big, long winning streaks, and they earned the number 1 seed in the FCS playoffs yesterday when they did that selection show. So it was a little bit of a surprise because there's a couple undefeated teams that didn't get the number 1 seed, and the 5-1, since they barely played any games this year in the FCS, they played like 6 games. The 5-1 South Dakota State Jackrabbits are your number 1 seed in the FCS player. So shout out to them. My number 2 winner of the weekend, I gave it to Michigan Gymnastics. They claimed the national championship this weekend for the first time in program history. Upsetting the number 1 seed Florida, we love to see that, and a couple other schools to win that gymnastics title. So shout out to them. First time in school history. Big time. Love some gymnastics. Wish Tennessee had a team, but no, we have rowing. And number 1, winner of the weekend, I gave it to Jake Paul.
Hey. We don't need an unnecessary shot at the rowing team.
It's called crew. Get it right.
Sorry. My bad. Sorry to any rowers out there. I respect your sport, but I would rather have gymnastics. My number 1 winner of the weekend, I gave it to Jake Paul. knocked out a former MMA guy very quickly. Big headlines for him. He was hype, of course. And he keeps winning these boxing matches. I don't know what's happening. This world is weird. And
he's a big old boy. Although I will say that overall,
Pete Davidson said it best. This proves that if you have enough money, you can do anything in the world you want to.
That's true. All right, my winners of the weekend. I went with number three. I went with Vanderbilt baseball. You want a top five series on the road?
Yeah, hard to do.
Right? I mean, you beat your rival. You want a top five series on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You bounce back from a bad weekend against Georgia. Got to give credit where it's due. Unfortunately.
Yep.
Number two winner of the weekend for me. This also hurts. This is growth by me. Give this guy his due. My second winner of the weekend, I went with Jason Tatum. Mm. I thought Jason Tatum had a fantastic weekend, as the Celtics are red hot, and Tatum, outdueled Steph Curry. 44 points. Looked awesome while doing it.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Mm. Bright lights on Saturday night. 44 points, 10 rebounds, some clutch shots. He has been really good for them as, like I said, the Celtics are, I believe have won, eight of their last nine games?
I think so. I think that's right.
All because of him. Mostly because of him. My number one win of the weekend, I agree with you. I went with Jake Paul. Although I do think there's an argument that Jake Paul, does he come out as a loser? Because, like, the event wasn't good.
It was not.
People were complaining about the event. They were not happy with it.
Yeah, all not like the music, right?
Yeah, the music. Although, was Bieber there?
I don't know. I didn't actually watch it. I was waiting for the Twitter clip to come out.
I saw people saying Bieber was there, like, performing. How the hell did they get Bieber? Which I guess money talks. But I guess the news is, like, to me, I feel like Jake Paul is going to actually fight a boxer next time.
That's what I think.
I think that's
happen.
What it has to build up to. Because yeah, he's just fighting washed up people, or.
But he went from like a nobody to at least an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Do we
and
think
nobody
he
had
like
the best fight against him? Pretty much.
Ben Askren, he was the MAGA fighter, right? He was the one that like really leaned into being like Trump supporter, right?
Yeah.
Then he goes out there and gets knocked out by Jake Paul, and the fact that the rest of the event was so bad, I think you're gonna have to actually sell like a fight where they can actually like. Yeah. You know,
you're gonna have to build up a better card in general too. Yeah. Like just
well, see, card, I don't even think that as long as he's fighting somebody that we actually think like can beat him.
Yeah, fair enough. But I feel like a lot of people are gonna either try to pirate the stream or
wait for
the clip if he's the only fight worth watching.
Sure.
You know?
Which also honorable mention winner Floyd Mayweather. Did you see Floyd Mayweather's new do? His new hair.
Not.
Floyd Mayweather came back on the scene and had like a head full of hair, looking good. It was weird to see. I always assumed he was bald, but maybe he was just shaved.
Or just fake.
Could be fake. Could be.
Hair implants.
No, I was bald. Not anymore. Which goes back to the point of, what Pete Davidson said.
Yeah. He probably should honorable mention for my winner. His commentary on, they did like a little like pre-commentary thing where he was talking and had some like, stuff before the Jake Paul fight, and his commentary was pretty funny. He was just talking about, he's like, I don't even know why I'm here. He's like, you can tell this event isn't professional because I'm here, and stuff like that. So he was entertaining as well, but yeah.
Maybe the winner should have been whoever did Floyd Mayweather's fake hair.
I mean, once you shave it that much, I guess he had to shave it. It doesn't come back, right? I mean,
if you keep shaving, like Shaka Smart was the same way.
I guess.
Has anyone accused Shaka Smart of having fake hair?
It just looks so bad. How could it be fake?
It looks.
I thought Shaka's looked good. Floyd's looked really.
I think it just looked different because you were so used to him being bald that you're like, oh, wow, he actually has this hair.
It looks like he had like very curly hair, and it was like frosted tips with gray hair.
Imagine if I just stepped back on the scene with a head full of hair. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
What would your hair look like? Would it be like.
I used to have it.
Luscious?
Like Bieber hair? Like that? Like that long
did kinda
mop
grow that
top?
Way. Nah, I wouldn't keep it like long. Sawyer wants to know if we can acknowledge the idea that Askren and all of his buddies probably bet on Jake Paul first round knockout. I mean, maybe, but also it could just be very possible that you guys bet on the wrong guy. I saw everyone claiming fix. Like, the shot to me looked good. It looked like
yeah,
a legitimate,
I mean, it was a clean shot.
It looked like a legitimate knockout to me. Like, I also think we should consider that Askren hasn't been fighting for a long time and wasn't very good when he was fighting, right?
Mm-hmm. I think people are just so, like, astounded because, like, there's so many videos of him just getting whooped in UFC fights where he's getting his face pounded in and he gets back up. And then people see this and they're like, oh, there's no way. Like,
well, he got back up. He got back up after the knockout. He was just wobbly. I don't think he's a good enough actor to get up and wobble around. If it's a real knockout, just stay down. That's why I didn't go with the fix I did, because I thought he tried to get back up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And he just couldn't reestablish himself. Like, he was wobbly. Like, if that was a UFC fight, Cam, like you're talking about, he would have been able to, quote-unquote, defend himself, and the fight would have gone on, and maybe he could have regained, or maybe he could have got to a bell. But, like, in boxing, you can't be concussed, like, when you stand back up. And, you know, in UFC, like, that's when you see guys jump on top. And if you're able to cover up, you could sometimes fight your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The ref's like, hey, come to me. And he could not come to him. I thought it was a legitimate knockout. I just think he's, you know, got beat by a bigger man that takes boxing more seriously than him, that is trying to rise to something fighting, whereas Askren was, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying his heart was in it.
Yeah, he was just out there for...
He's out there to get a check and some notoriety, but I do think he thought he was going to win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, he probably didn't take the kid seriously. A lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody still has, really.
Then he gets hit in the face, and his lights go out. All right, who are your losers of the weekend, Cameron?
All right, my number three loser of the weekend, I gave it to Kevin Durant and the Nets. Just another injury for him. Brutal stuff. I mean, he can't stay healthy, and they want to win a championship. It's going to be tough to do if you don't have your full trifecta of people out there, and just another injury issue for them. My number two loser of the weekend, I gave it to Denny Hamlin. He actually became he had the most races in a season, at the start of season, most races in a row where he's top five without a win in NASCAR history. He had his eighth race in a row where he finished top five and did not get a win.
It's all right.
And top he was leading. He was leading. Yeah, it's good, but I mean,
you can win a championship that way.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But yeah, he was actually leading towards the end of the race. Then there was a caution when Kevin Harvick's tire blew, and the restart, he lost the lead to Alex Bowman and took another L, but did finish top five again. But you know the man wants a win, so now he's got a record in his name where he's just not quite able to finish this season. And so he's my number two loser. And my number one loser of the weekend, are you familiar with Dakar Close, I think is his last name. UFC fighter.
I know Dakar Noir, the cologne.
Ah.
I smell
maybe
that.
Maybe he wears
for
this.
Like 25 years of my life, my dad would just douse himself in Dakar Noir. He kept that on deck. Very easy to buy him like Father's Day gifts. He just wanted some cologne. This guy I'm not sure of.
Well, he's a UFC fighter. He was actually going to be in the co-main event this past weekend. But, in weigh-ins, they get face-to-face, stuff like that. He was going against Jeremy Stephens. So at the weigh-ins, they get face-to-face, yada, yada, yada. Jeremy Stephens ends up shoving the mess out of the car. And comes out Saturday, the day of the fight, that the fight's off because he sustained an injury from that shove. He got extreme whiplash. Dude had a cervical sprain of the neck and a concussion as a result of a push.
Okay.
Like, he got shoved. Like, of course, random
shove. It didn't look that bad.
Exactly. But apparently he got whiplash. He made a whole post about it, about how, like, his arm was going numb, like, the next day. Like, any room with lights on were just brutal. He had a killer headache. And, yeah, they did, like, a CT scan, and he had a sprain in the neck and a concussion. Basically diagnosed with extreme whiplash from the shove. So, UFC fight was off.
I think, how is this guy a UFC fighter?
That's what I was wondering.
If a shove hurts him like that.
I don't know, but it makes it more sense that Askren got knocked out with one punch if turns the shove out, takes out a UFC fighter, yeah, too, you know?
Turns out some of these UFC fighters are soft, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, he was a co-main event. So, like, second biggest fight of the night. And, you know, it's not a major card. It was just on ESPN all night. So, but still, yeah. Made him a loser.
My loser of the weekend, I went with number three, the Dallas Mavericks. Just that roster just doesn't look good right now. They're not winning. They dropped games to the Knicks and Kings over the weekend. No disrespect to the Knicks. But you lost to the Knicks, and then you turn around and get beat by the Kings, get beat down by the Kings as you're trying to, you know, kind of hold off and win this division and try to get out of the seven seed that you've been crying about the play-in game. And, you know, Portland's trying to help you, and you have just completely been awful. Been awful.
Luka. He's so good.
Well, he's got a worse record than the Hawks.
Yeah.
Got a worse record than the Hawks. He lost to the Kings, bro. The Mavs are my third biggest loser of the weekend. Number two, I went with the Yankees. Man, what a bad weekend for the Yankees as they are swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall, they've lost five in a row to the Blue Jays and the Rays. And, you know, just it seems like they can't get the bats going. Like, the pitching hasn't been as good as they thought it was either. But, like, over the weekend, you know, they scored seven runs in three games. Is Judge still out? Like, has Judge just not been playing? I know that he was, like, on the injured list. Or, like, they thought
I'm pretty
he was
sure
injured,
he's still
like,
out.
Still, like, how
Stanton's
are you?
In, though. Stanton's playing, I'm pretty sure. And that's, I mean
they are tied for
two big bats.
Now, you know, they might have played, like, a game less than, you know, they played a game less than the Tigers. So, you know, I guess, you know, they would not be in the position they were in unless they got shut out. But, like, right now they are tied for last in terms of the American League in terms of runs scored. With the top of the Tigers at 55 runs scored. Now, again, they've only played 15 games compared to the Tigers. But still, 55 runs scored. Five-game losing streak. The Yankees, my second biggest losers of the weekend. I wonder how long before they start talking about firing Aaron Boone.
Is it the manager's fault, though? That, I mean, that the players can't really stay healthy? I mean, that's been kind of a problem.
No, but somebody will be here.
I realize they still have a good roster with, like, LeMahieu, and like, I mean, they have good pitching staff, too.
Cashman says they'll remain patient. I guess George has been dead for a while, so maybe that's a different regime. Number one loser of the weekend. By the way, the Braves are in first place at 7-9. You've been laughing
in the division?
Yeah.
No,
oh, not. No. Okay, that was just a run. It was suited by a run scored. Sorry, I was going to say. Okay, that doesn't make sense. They're in last place. Is that right?
Then the Nationals are in last place.
No, the Nationals. Wait a second. Who's in last place?
The Nationals are in last.
You've been talking so bad about the Braves, and they're worse than the Braves.
They've
the Nationals
also played three more games.
I mean, it's fine. Their win percentage is worse. They're 5-8.
Coming out of the last series, we had the same records then. They were 5-8. We're 5-8. We've also played the Dodgers.
Interesting.
Just so you know. We also played the Dodgers.
Interesting. So all that mocking you've done with the Braves, and you guys are actually in last place.
It's just fine. Because my team is not great doesn't mean that it absolves me from criticizing other teams.
Okay. Just checking. My biggest loser of the weekend, I just went with soccer fans. I've seen enough of them complaining and crying on the internet to know they're not happy. About this
one.
Super League. I think it's kind of cool, but I don't know. The
purists don't like it.
Yeah, none of the purists like it at all. I'm far from a purist, but
yeah.
I think it's interesting.
I would hate if all the good players are out of the World Cup, though.
Yeah, that would suck.
I would hate that.
That would suck.
Are we going to make the next World Cup?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, we will.
For sure?
I mean, I can't say for sure because, I mean, we, you know, kind of suck, but I think we will. I think we will. Didn't we, like, rig it to basically that we would? Didn't, like,
Well, if we go around and lose to some random Caribbean team again and
I thought CONCACAF or whatever, I thought they had, like, kind of came together and updated their qualification rules that pretty much meant that we would get in, but I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
all right, good batch of winners and losers, I guess. We will play Last Call. We'll do some pump the brakes. We'll keep it moving after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Malone at Knoxville Smiles. You know, a lot's changed in the past 25 years that I've been a dentist here in East Tennessee. There's been so many advances in the way that we treat patients.
Are they? According to a statement by the South African National Parks. There was three suspected poachers that were attempting to flee the park after the park rangers when they ran into a breeding herd of elephants, the statement said. Once the suspects realized they were being pursued, they dropped an axe and a bag with their provisions and ran from the rangers, ran into the group of elephants. One ended up getting trampled. Another one They said had an injury to his eye but continued to flee, and a second was arrested. They are still searching for the third guy, but yeah, one of them took the ultimate L there, trying to poach some animals, getting what they deserve a little bit.
They're rhino poachers, right?
Yeah.
And the elephants killed them?
Yep. Yeah, they ran into a herd of elephants running from the park rangers. And elephants don't take surprises very well, if you didn't know.
I guess we call that irony?
Ivory. that's what they're poaching.
Come on.
But yeah, yeah.
Wait, what rhinos bring ivory? I thought elephants brought
It's both,
right? Ivory?
Both.
Yeah, I think they both have
both
a little
have
bit.
Ivory.
Yeah, okay.
But the rhino horns also, like, there's a lot of people that use it, like, have medical properties, people claim, and stuff like that. Elephants are the ivory, though. The rhino horn actually is the same material as fingernail, if I know that right.
Don't they just cut the horn off sometimes and leave the rhino alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brutal stuff.
They can't defend themselves, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You can't grow it back. You can't fight, like, other male rhinos or anything, and it's just, it just leaves them vulnerable a little bit. And it could get infected too because you're just leaving the open wound out there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wonder if it's like dehorning cattle because we cut horns off cattle sometimes.
Yeah,
but then we doctor them. You know, we don't want them to die. We like spray stuff on it and like keep it from.
Yeah, and I'd say that's a little different. Like a lot of rhinos, like if poachers get to them, they won't, and they sometimes succumb to their injuries and things like that. But like there has been times.
Does that feel gross to say we cut the horns off cattle?
Nope.
Not necessarily. Not if you're taking care of it.
Just like keep them from harming other cattle, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess that's the reason why. I mean, some of them, like the longhorns, you'd let grow because like a novelty. But some of them just have like like you've seen like Texas longhorns. Like those are like novelty. You can let those really grow, but like they're just hard to get. I mean, they're hard to get like in the head shooting work when they got the horns because I mean sometimes they're too wide to get through. I think it's just like a comfort thing there, and you also don't get poked with them when you're working with them. Have them hurt other.
What do you mean? What do you mean working with them? What do you
like, put them in the head shoots? Put them in like where you like doctor them and stuff. It's like a thing about as wide as this hallway out here, basically, right from here to here.
Like
you run them up.
Do they sell for more with the horns on or no? Doesn't matter.
No, I mean, like, it depends what they're for, I guess. Like I said, the longhorns, they're novelties. It's like they sell more because we like looking at them. But, like, no, if you're just, like, killing them for beef or whatever, or just use them to breed, you don't really want them to have horns. There's no functionality behind it. But with the rhino, I guess it's, like, for protection. Like, I don't think, like, I've never seen, like, cows, you know, bulls out there fighting or cows out there fighting with horns. Like, mm-hmm. Actually probably prohibit them from fighting because usually when the bulls fight they just go head to head, just keep ramming into each other, test of strength, so the horns might
do they kill each other pretty much.
No, not really kill each other, no, but like we've had bulls get crippled because of that. If you got a couple alphas out there in the herd, like they'll fight and then one will end up usually like hurting its foot or breaking its leg or something.
Rhino horns do grow back though. That's the difference between like elephants. Okay. So that's why like if they do survive like the process, they can be all right.
So they can grow back. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, elephants, their tusks don't.
They
grow
can
back.
Get infected though, like John said.
Yeah. Like when we do that, we do like the castration. You gotta spray them and try to get it disinfected on there. Just a little cut. Put your finger up there. Wrap your.
You ever eat any of those?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so gross.
It's just all. It's all protein, bro.
Oh God.
It's a delicacy some places.
I know. That's what I was wondering.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, you liked them?
Oh, it's great. I could go for some now. You got any? I'm salivating.
I mean.
You just open up a pouch, stick your finger up there, you grab the tendon, you wrap your finger around, pull until it breaks.
Oh, God.
Cut.
Pull it until it breaks? Well,
you want to break the tendon,
Does it hurt them?
Actually, that part doesn't seem to really hurt them.
What part hurts them?
I really don't know if any part actually hurts them.
I
think they just get scared.
I think that's going to hurt, I feel like.
Yeah, probably. I guess there's probably some nerves there. It probably does hurt them.
Yeah.
It's not for me to worry about.
God.
Let's try to doctor them and keep All right, I got some good news.
You're a monster.
What's that?
You're a monster. Really what I think I'm down
to. All right, let's go with
bull balls.
Let's go with something that Russia wants to do. Crazy Russian story.
Crazy Russian story.
Apparently, Russia's defense minister... wants to clone 3,000-year-old ancient warriors.
There we go.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
He wants to...
Been waiting on this.
He has a Dolly the Sheep type of cloning dream where he wants to clone ancient royal warriors and their prize horses using DNA preserved in permafrost.
Yeah. I was gonna say, DNA, 3,000 years, that's fresh enough DNA. You should be able to get something viable from that.
Sergei Shoigu, one of Putin's closest allies... Yeah, spoke about the potential of the 3,000-year-old Scythian burials in Tuva, his mountainous native republic in Siberia. So yeah, basically they want to try to bring those guys back to back to life of sorts.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean a clone is identical.
Little Army of the Dead action. I was watching a movie last night. Nobody. It's kind of like a John Wick knockoff.
Been meaning to watch that.
It's you know he's going after like a Russian gang's coming after him, and I wonder do Russian movies like have American gangs?
That's a good question.
Like a lot of our villains, a lot of our villains will make like Russian or Yugoslavia.
I don't know, Hayden. I feel like because like he's saying like we paint Russia as like the bad guys. They definitely paint us as the bad guys.
Do you think like the Russian heroes in their movies are like trying to fight off Americans, or do they even like view us as threats? Because I mean, when you tell me like
do we
a Russian,
have any like gangs?
When you tell me,
I don't even think it's international.
Like
that. I don't even know if it means like that.
International
though, you know,
gangs.
You can
is what
just
I
have
mean?
A group of American guys who like are doing something, and they're the bad guys.
Oh,
you know?
I agree with that. I don't know if we have any international American.
Well, I'm
gangs.
Just saying, like, we have, I mean, we got the Russian mob, and they talk about them being in different places. But yeah, I was just curious because he was fighting the Russian mob.
I start typing into Google, do Russian movies, and the first thing that comes up is have American villains.
Because we just said that.
It says not really. Most Russian movies and TV shows are set in Russia and dealing with local themes, so bad guys are Russian.
They don't even
War films have German, Afghan, or Chechenian villains.
All right.
And 2000 movies feature Middle Eastern terrorists.
Okay.
I didn't even get to read my story today. The only time I could sit over here, I didn't get to read it.
Oh, you cry about it?
Yeah, I am.
Tell me
sad about it. I had a list about you eating bull balls
Russell
over there.
Russell Smith, the drive up next.
To East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon in East Tennessee. How you doing? Thanks for tuning into the show. We got a big one lined up for you this afternoon. Trey Wallace is going to join to talk all things Tennessee Vols. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Rusty Enzer, hour number two, talking Tennessee baseball with us. It'll be a lot of fun. If you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. We'll be taking your phone calls all afternoon long. Bear is a late scratch, feeling a little under the weather this afternoon. So for one, Adam Hickman of Sevierville, opportunity knocks.
Ready to rock and roll today, Russell.
What do you think, Adam? You fired up. Big opportunity for you to step up and do a little more heavy lifting on the show.
I am fired up. Good start to a Monday.
Good deal. And after the shocking revelation on Friday that Hickman has never seen the baseball classic Major League, well, he did his homework. We say a lot of things about young Adam Hickman. You cannot say that he does not care. He did his homework. He watched Major League over the weekend. We will get his thoughts on that coming up here in just a moment. But first, we start with the weekend that was. What a weekend it was. Started off with my mighty Chelsea Football Club thrashing future European Super League opponent Man City in the FA Cup semifinals. Bear's not here for me to talk trash about, so the listener probably wins out on that one. You don't have to listen to us talk soccer here in the first segment. But then I got to go, as luck would have it, we ended the show Friday, Bear and I lamenting. It seemed like everyone at Fan Run was picking up freebies, tickets into Lindsey Nelson Stadium, the hottest ticket we've seen in Knoxville in quite some time. Hard to get in there these days. And I want to thank my good friend Joe Fowler. You might remember Joe. I had the skiing accident a couple of months back. Severe leg injury. You'll be glad to know that he's doing quite well, is recovering from that. And he sent me the invite late Friday night. Said, dude, I got a freebie. I got an extra one. You want to join me? And I was like, is there a mustache in Mexico? Hell yes, I want to join you. So there I was, Hickman, in attendance.
You see, I got the bad game. I got the Friday night game. You probably attended. I'm not much of a UT baseball expert by any means, but you probably attended what might go down as the greatest game inside Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Where were you when Evan Russell etched his name into Tennessee baseball lore? I was there, my friends. I was there, absolutely losing my mind. My throat's still a little sore. I haven't yelled and screamed that much in I don't know how long. Oh, it's unbelievable.
I was supposed to go meet a buddy for dinner that night, and I was getting ready. I come out of the bathroom, and I look at the TV, and base is loaded, and so I'm like, well, I can't leave now. So to my buddies who sat around and waited on me an extra 25, 30 minutes, that's why.
What a moment. What a moment, man. And I know, look, the weekend didn't end like we all wanted it to, but it still feels like we're all present right now for the rebirth of something special. If we could keep this Tony Vitello guy, and I'm a little bit worried, man. Not quaking my boots worried, but hey, we're getting set to go play a Texas A&M team this weekend that is struggling. And a Texas A&M team that has the beautiful ballpark that we want. And, of course, a Texas A&M that has their pockets have no bottom to them, right? I mean, they throw around money like it's nothing. So we got some work to do in keeping him. But I think it can be done, and we'll talk about it. Look, man, don't get swept. That's always been Rusty Enzer's motto. When you talk about these SEC series, and we talked before the Florida series, would you take 3-3 in those six games? 3 against Florida, 3 against Vanderbilt. Would you take 3-3? I said yes. I stand by that. I think a lot of people said yes, as I recall on our Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question of the day. Yeah, you'll take 3-3 out of that, and that's what we got. That's what we got. And I like what Vitello said after the game yesterday. He said, look, this is an invaluable learning experience for our team because, first of all, you get to measure yourself against the best. This is I guess they're technically still the defending national champion. They won in 2019. Of course, there was no College World Series last year due to COVID. But you want to measure yourself against the best, and this team, if they're not in Omaha, they're going to have something to say about it with those two, with that pitching staff. And Tennessee went toe-to-toe and didn't blink. And it fell apart on them yesterday. I feel like we were probably a little bit emotionally spent yesterday after everything that happened Saturday. Man, when I was walking out of there Saturday, it was like leaving a big football game. Is really the only thing I can compare it to, because we walked out there like right behind the stadium, and we're walking in the frat house right behind us going crazy. There's like 30 dudes out on the porch absolutely losing their mind, chanting everything. They're like old guys going up to the frat boys, like pumping their fist, doing that whole thing. I was once you. Let us celebrate together now. And people were in the parking lot honking. I parked way down on like frat row, and like all the houses were spilling out. People just going crazy, man. It was a celebration. It was a celebration. I didn't want to leave. We stayed for a long time and had great seats, thanks to Joe, and just had a fantastic time. I mean, the weather was perfect. I don't know, we really lucked out. And listen, we've all been – well, no, we haven't. But many of us have been to Lindsey Nelson towards the end of the year, where it gets to be June, late May, early June. And it's sweltering down there. It's kind of uncomfortable. But this weekend, oh, you couldn't have asked for better weather. You couldn't have asked for better weather. It was fantastic. I mean, I was doing that thing, you know, oh, man, should I bring my rain jacket? Should I wear long sleeves? Ended up wearing just a sweater and just thinking, man, am I going to be too hot there? It was just perfect. It was just, like, super comfortable outside. It was just one of those magical days on Saturday. And for me, what happened yesterday, we were all fired up for it and everything, but it really doesn't take away a lot of what happened over the weekend. like I said, Tennessee went toe-to-toe with one of the best programs. This is the measuring stick, right? This is who you're chasing. This is who you want to be. Tim Corbin has built a remarkable program there in Nashville. And we're not quite there yet, and that's okay, because he's been there for almost 20 years now, and our guy's in his fourth year, really his third year if you don't count last year where we didn't get to play the entire season.
I think the storyline of the weekend was Will Heflin.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, that's the first time in conference play he's went over six innings pitched and did a phenomenal job.
He's not a guy that has fantastic stuff, but he's just gutty. He's gritting it out. He's putting it where he needed to put it, and did what he had to do. Did what he had to do to get the job done, and so did Tennessee's bats on Saturday. And so now I think you get to take a step back. Like I said, I feel like we were probably a little bit emotionally spent yesterday. Saturday was such a cathartic experience toward the end. Everybody was just I heard Vitello after the game say, like, he had to take a second to compose himself and the emotions of it. So, I mean, when it's your head coach saying that, yeah, your team is probably a little bit spent at that point. But Vanderbilt's been there before, and we haven't. And they were able to persevere and gut it out. And the question becomes, if you're Tony Vitello, is what do we have to do to get to that level? Can it be done this season? Obviously, we don't have pitchers like Rocker and Leiter, but I think that we've got some pieces there, and I think one of the big keys is going to be Tidwell, because he has probably the best stuff on our staff in terms of how hard he throws and all that stuff, and he got lit up yesterday. He's just a freshman. So how much progress can he make between now and the end of the season? Good thing about college baseball, it's not like the big leagues, not like the pros, and even high school where you're pitching once every 5 days. You can really rest those guys. And for a guy like Tidwell, only pitch once a week, it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself for one game, but hopefully you're not throwing your arm out, as is custom, unfortunately, for some of these kids. So how much better can he get? Is what we saw from Heflin Saturday, can that be the norm? Can he raise that to be his standard of play instead of an anomaly? Can Chad Dallas continue to give you a chance? And then you got to be more consistent hitting the ball too, I think. The injury to Pavlone is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on going forward here. Missing him yesterday I thought was huge. But there's a lot to like about this team. There's just a lot to like about this program right now under Tony Vitello. And how fun was that? How wild is it that here we are 10 minutes into the show and we're just talking baseball? Like, not even talking about, oh, man, we got to get the stadium fixed and all that stuff. And we'll do that. But breaking it down, like talking about the pitching matchups and the hitting and stuff like that. If you had told me that we'd be sitting here doing this, like 3 months ago, that we'd be sitting here today having the conversation we're having, I'd have laughed at you. Said, you're crazy.
Tony V getting tossed in the first game of the series, too. I think that was the most predictable ejection I've ever seen. Like, going into the game, hadn't even started. If you'd have told me Tony Vitello was going to get tossed, I'd have probably said, yeah, you're probably right.
My man is fiery, and you're not going to rook us. I know that's Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin and everything, but, dude, we're not going to get rooked. These college umps, man, the strike zone.
Spagnardi was the ump for game one.
These guys are just so inconsistent with their strike zones, and you never know what to expect. We all saw the freeze frame of Rocker's pitch that was at least a foot off the plate outside that they called strike three. And then you had the interference and thing. And a lot of silly stuff that went on. And I don't think that it would have made that much of a difference if Tony had gotten the call that he wanted Friday night, or if whatever, you know, there was no call yesterday that was going to turn the game around. But I do think that he'll be able to go and talk to his team today and say, look, we had a great win on Saturday. We had a great effort on Friday night. Things kind of fell apart on us yesterday. There are little errors that we made, literal errors that you can't make in those situations. If you're in an NCAA tournament game, you're in a College World Series game, third baseman can't overthrow the first baseman on a pretty routine grounder with two outs. That kept an inning alive and led to a three-run homer. And we lost our lead there. Came back to win the game, but might not happen that way in the College World Series matchup. You can't boot around balls at shortstop. You can't walk guys when you don't want to walk guys. And you got to have a little bit more timely hitting sometimes. And those are all things that you've got time to work on. I like the way the schedule kind of opens up now if you're Tennessee. You've got Tennessee Tech tomorrow. Obviously, you got to continue to take care of business in those midweek games. And then you've got a big road trip to Texas A&M, who's struggling this year. You can't take it for granted, obviously, but you want to win that series. You get win at least two ball games this weekend, kind of get this thing back on track. Then you've got Kentucky at home coming up towards the end of the month. That is a very, very winnable series. You're playing at Missouri, who's the worst team in the league. So if that's got to be one of your road trips, that's fine. Very winnable series there. And then your last series of the season, looking ahead towards next month, your last home series of the season is going to be at home against the number one team of the country, Arkansas. And I think there's a very good chance that by the time that happens, and again, we're talking almost a full month away, 3 weeks from now, I think there's a very good chance that COVID attendance restrictions will be lifted in Knox County and that you will have a packed house, over 5,000 fans at each one of those games, and it'll be an atmosphere like we haven't seen since the 2005
and
team.
That series against Arkansas doesn't scare me as much as this Vanderbilt series did. You're not going to see pitching like that two nights in a row.
No, but you're going to see a bunch of guys who can mash, and that's where our pitching has to continue to get better. We've lost some guys, and so we've got to figure some things out, but plenty of time. You end the season at South Carolina. Obviously, that's going to be a very difficult series. So very exciting month or so left in the season, and certainly this is a team that's going to be playing in the postseason, so a lot of baseball left to go for Tony Vitello and the boys. Tennessee football, get some news today. Joe Milton, as we speculated, will be joining Tennessee's quarterback derby. What does it mean? We'll talk to Trey Wallace about that coming up next, plus get Trey's thoughts on the weekend that was for Tennessee baseball. Stay with us. The Drive continues, just scratching the surface. A Monday afternoon edition of the show. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. You're the guy. Starch Madness continues. You love Fan Run. You love this show. You want us to stick around. Stay out of the poorhouse. Support our sponsor is Crowd Cleaners, locally owned and operated. Knoxville's go-to for dry cleaning for over 50 years now. Starch Madness continues. Bring in three dress shirts. Get the fourth laundered for free. At Crown Cleaners, they've got two locations, Bearden Hill, North Shore Drive. You get the coupon at fanrunradio.com by just clicking on the Starch Madness logo. Print it off, stick it in the bag with your shirts when they come for their free pickup and delivery, or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry to Crown Cleaners. Again, two locations, Bearden Hill or North Shore Drive. Schedule your free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. Support Fan Run Radio by supporting our locally owned sponsors. Like Crown Cleaners, the G3 Help Me Hotline, we go. Trey Wallace standing by this afternoon from Rocky Top Insider. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Pretty good. What you doing?
Honestly, I'm sitting here just kind of updating. Curfew just released. Justin Powell has officially signed this paperwork to play for Tennessee. So who
it's
in the
a
world
final
this
now.
Summer? It's a final, yeah. So just getting this done and just kind of updating some stuff we did with Joe Milton earlier this morning. So it's been kind of a busy day.
Yeah, man. No shortage of Tennessee news. Let's start there. Joe Milton.
Yeah.
You've been following this for a while now. I can't imagine that this kid is coming here unless he thinks he's going to be the starter, right? You're a former highly touted guy. He's from Orlando, so you think this staff probably has some background with him, or it certainly knows who he is coming out of high school. And now he's leaving Michigan. He started the season there. Sounds like he got beat out. So he's going somewhere he's going to play, right? I don't see him coming to Knoxville unless he thinks he can beat out Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer and Caden Salter.
Yeah, I mean, and to go back, I guess, to start last year, according to people I've spoken with, during the Michigan State game, he had torn a ligament in his throwing hand. And that's kind of where things started going a different direction when it came to the quarterback spot at Michigan for him last season. He had a couple good games. I went back and watched some film last week on him, against Minnesota and Indiana, even though in the loss, he threw for 300 yards in two games and had a good start to the season against Minnesota. And I think this is a situation where Tennessee knew that they were going to go after a quarterback in the transfer portal, try to go get somebody after the spring was over. This has been in the works for a bit now. As I was told, he took his name out of the quote-unquote transfer portal on April 5th. So this has kind of been going on for a while. I think this is a decision where he's got 3 years of eligibility, but he's not coming here just to stand on the sideline and hold a clipboard. He's coming here to play football and to be a part of it. And now, like Russ, you know, the big thing now, brother, is like, okay, Tennessee's got what? They got four quarterbacks on scholarship at the moment. They'll have five once he signs. I mean, technically he's already in school. He's already been enrolled, but he still has to sign, I guess, the financial aid part of it and wrap up his time at Michigan. But they'll have five scholarship quarterbacks over the summer, and you just have to wonder, okay, which one, you know, out of the five, let's be honest. I mean, somebody's leaving. So I think it's a big deal for Tennessee because they get a quarterback who can run the type of offense that that Josh Heupel wants to run. He's athletic. You get outside the boundary. And I think he's got a good arm to him. And this will benefit Tennessee, I think, in the long run, because it's also going to spice up competition. So I thought it was a good move, Russ.
Yeah, so obviously Milton's not going anywhere. I don't think Salter will go anywhere, although you have to wonder if his problems are an indication of, I don't know, a lack of maturity. I mean, hey, we were all probably lacking maturity at that age. But you wonder what the staff thinks about him. The other three have got to be looking at this today going, wait a minute. I mean, think about Hooker. Like, he transferred here thinking he's probably going to be the guy. Now, he should have known that, you know, he committed to Pruitt's staff. He had to have had some inkling that they might not be here. But that's got to be a little disconcerting if you're him. And certainly for Bailey and Maurer, it's not some ringing endorsement of the job that you've done in spring practice. So
right.
I'm with you. Yeah, it seems like there's not enough room for five QBs on that roster. I would imagine that at least one of those guys be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I would think so, brother. I don't know. You know, I guess we'll probably start knowing more after Saturday, the orange and white game, once summer sessions start going. Because if I'm not mistaken, and I have to go back and look at the transfer rules, the players that are wanting to transfer to a different program for next season have to let them know by July 1st, I think, is the date. For the winter sports, I think it was May 1st. So we'll see where this road takes it. He's been Joe Milton has been around Knoxville for a minute now. He is taking online classes at Michigan. He's been around town. He's been hanging out, with some players on Tennessee's roster. It's trying to get comfortable with what's going on in Knoxville. I was told that he'll make his official announcement after the spring game on Saturday and then sign some financial aid agreements or whatnot. And then he'll be a part of Tennessee's roster. And then, you know, you start to wonder, okay, how do they go about this over the summer with Alex Golish, you know, the offensive coordinator, and how does, you know, Josh Heupel approach the quarterback situation? Because I think Josh Heupel's a smart enough football coach, and he's going to sit down with the quarterbacks after spring and be like, okay, this is what we've got going on. You know, maybe you should end up looking around. Because here's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the Alabama situation, like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where they had, like, two or three quarterbacks transfer out right before the season. It was Bateman. It was it Cromwell, Cornwell, who went to Arizona State? This would be an interesting spot. I don't know what Josh Heupel's going to do, but he had to have known he had a plan if he was going to let this kid come on down to Knoxville and get ready to start practicing with the team.
Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider, with us this afternoon on the show. All right, Trey, let's talk big picture here. Danny White today announces this new donor giving structure, I guess, the Shareholder Society. It's for folks giving $25,000 a year and more. You know, guys in your income bracket, Trey. And right. if you're Danny White, how do you convince fans and donors to trust you with their money when the football product has been so bad and the previous administrations have been so careless with their money? Because I definitely get the feeling that Tennessee fans are very much, and it's nothing against Danny White, it's nothing against Josh Heupel, it's just, man, this is the third or fourth time we've done this with a new AD and a new football coach, and we're not buying in on blind faith anymore. We need to see some sort of tangible result before we start just throwing money at you, especially in this economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, they're trying to say, okay, you can make your commitments within a 5-year span if you're giving $25,000 a year. You got to show me something, guys. Like, you got to show me something before I'm going to start giving you even more money. I mean, we saw what happened last year. Tennessee was like, please, please let us keep your money. You know, you can write it off. You know, don't take your donation away. You know, and it's like, okay, you begged last year, and all the money is going towards buyouts for football coaches you had to fire. And now you look at the situation here, and one of the key points in all this was you're going to be donating to help build up athletic facilities and, you know, help the program in any manner that you can. My takeaway from that is, man, y'all have got money right now. I get that you're trying to set up a new support system, kind of something like they've done at UCF, but on a lower schedule, when it comes to money. But right now, is it the right time to come up and say, hey, guys, will you please give me money? Will you please help us build better athletic facilities?
I
know they have to.
And for fans too. So it's everybody's in a bad situation. Like they have to go out and scrounge up more money and extract more money from an already overtaxed donor base, right? And I'm say overtaxed and everything I just said, right? They've been giving and giving and giving with so little return, and now you're asking for more when we're at our lowest point in the modern era. And then from the fan standpoint, it's, well, you can stop giving, and you're certainly within your right and have great reasons to do that, to cut back on your donations, to not buy season tickets and stuff like that. But if you do that, that's fewer resources to not only to Josh Heupel and trying to get this football thing going around, but Tony Vitello and trying to build a new renovate Lindsey Nelson Stadium and up his pay and his assistants' pay and do the things to keep that program rolling. So everybody's kind of in a tough spot here, and it's just it seems to me he's in a very difficult position talking about Danny White in terms of trying to rally support to his cause?
Well, he has. I mean, you hit on it. He's got to do it because it's a part of building up an athletic department and building up your fund. I completely understand why he's doing it. They're trying to mix words around it. Pretty much, it's the same darn thing. It's just, you're setting up payment plans if you really want to help out the university. I mean, let's not call it something that it's really not. I mean, it's just the same thing. It's just a different way to go about it. But I think that, what you saw this past weekend at the University of Tennessee at Lindsey Nelson with that baseball stadium, and I was there, man. It was rocking. You've got over 2,000 fans there trying to hit capacity, but the place felt like, here's the best way to put it. When Evan Russell hit that grand slam, it felt like Tennessee had just scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to take the lead against a big-name team. Like, that was the atmosphere. Well, then, you look around the ballpark and you look at what they can do better, and then I take a look at down the road in Starkville, Mississippi, where they hosted 35,000 people, all weekend long for college baseball games, and I look at that stadium, and it's like, no wonder people want to come out because they're getting the full experience.
Wait, they had 35,000 for three games?
Yeah, so combined it was 35,000.
Cumulative, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's for three incredible games this weekend. And their stadium is beautiful. I mean, they got apartment suites in left field. So yep. What I'm getting at is Tennessee's going to have to invest here, and they're trying to get this off the ground to get some money. And I completely understand that, and I'm behind that, I think. But Tennessee's going to have to make some financial statements in the near future. I'm talking in the next couple months to try to get something going with the facilities that they already have on campus. And I think that's a big thing that Danny White's going to have to do because you can't let Tony Vitello get down the road. I mean, no. We don't know if LSU's going to open up. We don't know if A&M might open up this year. They're going to be calling. People are going to be calling. And, if that's the case, Tony's got to open up a checkbook for his staff. We talked about this earlier. He's got to open up earlier in the year when I was still with you. His strength and conditioning coach needed more money. His assistant coaches needed more money. They needed to do renovations besides posters on the wall, like Tony said, downstairs. So I just think that this is a good deal for Tennessee, but they're going to have to pony up immediately before they get all this funding to come in.
The way my theory and take on the baseball thing is it's going to come down to trust with Tony V, because there probably is going to be some school come after him after the season. And I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for Tennessee to give him a raise, to give his staff a raise, and invest in them from a personnel and a contract standpoint. I think the bigger picture is, what do you do about Lindsey Nelson Stadium? It's not something where you can just snap your fingers and it's taken care of, it's done. But you've got to sit down with Tony and come up with a plan, right? A 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. What can we do in the short term? And what long term, 10 years from now, when we've been to Omaha a couple of times and we're drawing over 5,000 fans a game, what do we want that facility to look like? And I'm sure that they can bring in an architect and draw up some beautiful plans and everything like that, but I don't know that right now they can commit $30 million, right? Or is probably what it's going to cost to do that. So in my mind, Trey, it's going to come down to, does Vitello trust Danny White and Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd, the UT administration, to follow through on whatever it is they're about to promise him?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is building up the trust and knowing that you're going to have his back and everybody else, Ross Kvaak's back and Coach Anderson's back over there when it comes to it. And we're talking about baseball now. Okay, well, what's the next thing that's going to hit over the next couple of years that you're going to need funding for? So it's all about building up that that trust factor that, and they've already met. Danny White and Tony Vitello have sat down a couple times since he's been in town and, trying to work out things. And Danny White wants to know what Tony needs. And I think that's a good thing, that he wants to, okay, give me a list. What do you need? What can I work out? And I think that's a good sign for Tennessee in their future and what they're trying to do with the baseball program. Because if you look at what you saw like this past weekend, I mean, Tennessee's on the brink of doing something really, really good when it comes to this program. They already have. I mean, they only dropped back, what, two spots this weekend, the number five, coming off a hard-fought series loss to Vanderbilt. But you look at what they're trying to spin around the different, you know, facilities, and they're paying so much for buyouts. I just think you have to set up a pipeline, okay? But you also have to set up the trust between Danny White and all the coaches on this staff and the donors. Let's not forget the donors and the boosters, you know, around the program. So it'll be interesting to watch over the next, you know, couple months, over the summer, you know, getting into fall where football is, and to see where the Tennessee fund is at, I guess is the best way to put it.
Trey, what do you make of that Tim Corbin's comment about COVID not existing in Knoxville? But he meant it as like a compliment towards Knoxville,
no,
right?
Yeah, absolutely he did. No, I spoke with some Vanderbilt folks. That was a direct. He did that last week. You know, I think it was early last week he did that. He said the same thing kind of like of Mississippi, where he saw Mississippi State was having all these people. I mean, you have to remember, like, and I know folks don't know this, but like at Vanderbilt, you're not really hosting anybody. It's like 300 people there. And Vanderbilt's got a pretty cool baseball park.
Yeah.
And Tim Corbin's like, wait a minute. We're the number one team in the country. I'm looking at Ole Miss, who's hosting 13,000 a game. I'm looking at Mississippi State, who's hosting 15,000. Tennessee just put right around 3,000 in there and made it feel like a hostile environment. And then I come home and I'm playing in front of, you know, family. So I think it was a compliment towards Tennessee and Tony Vitello and what they're doing here in Knoxville. But also I think it was a shot across the bow at the athletic director, Candace Lee, at Vanderbilt, who, by the way, last night came out and said, yeah, we're going to make adjustments and we're going to get more people into the stadium. So Tim Corbin shot his shot yesterday, and not 2 hours later, the athletic director says they're going to do whatever they can to get more people into the Hawk, is what they call it in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a cool facility. You're right. I mean, they've won two national championships, so they've got a lot of money and reason to invest in it. But it's only like a 3,000-seat stadium because it's all locked in by Memorial Gym and the football stadium, but it's still pretty cool. And I mean,
it's one of the top. I mean, it's one of those smaller stadiums, but man, it's so top of the line that it doesn't even matter. Like it doesn't. It's beautiful over there, and that's where, you know, you also remember too. That's where Tennessee got the idea of
the turf,
kind of going with the all turf.
Yeah.
Is Tennessee talking with the folks over at Vanderbilt about how, you know, it helped them out. So, it was a smart thing to do by Tim Corbin, and I think it just goes to show you how big Tennessee's excitement level from fans kind of rubbed off on Corbin this weekend. So I applaud him.
Trey, always good talking with you, my friend. I'm sure we'll do it again soon. We got to get you back in studio here hanging out with us sometime.
I would absolutely love to, buddy. I miss you guys. I hope Bear is feeling okay. And, I'll text you some nugs later. I love you, brother.
I see you tweeting out stories while you're on the air with me, tweeting out RTI stories. Trey's always been a multitasker like that. He just do a billion things at once.
Well, you can't say you didn't know about Joe Milton before today, Russ. Gotta go, buddy.
All right, man. See ya. Trey Wallace making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline. You want to jump on? Help us unpack what Trey had to say today. Take a shot now. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the show with us. Quick timeout. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Drive Continues, Fan Run Radio. Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider. Adam, what did you learn?
I'm glad y'all brought up the Tim Corbin comments, because I forgot to say something about that in the first segment. made me feel happy to be a Tennessee Volunteer baseball fan of 2 months.
Why? What about Tim Corbin's statement made you proud?
It's just always good whenever an opposing coach really shouts out the opposing fans.
Well, he's the second opposing coach now to make note of the raucous atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You remember?
Who was the first?
Well, it was the guy from LSU was talking about how our fans were not very nice.
Yeah, he did it in like a not so much of a complimenting way.
But
still.
That's almost makes you feel better, right? I mean, it's like, man, we got to him.
A lot of people on Twitter have been complaining about the legends of Lindsey.
All right, so I was there. The guy Joe who helped took me to the game. I don't say took me to the game. Sounds like we're on a date or something. But allowed me to accompany him to. That almost sounds worse. I went to the game with him. All right. He was telling me that Friday night apparently there was. I don't know if it's UT people or Vandy people or somebody were basically getting on the legends for being a little obscene. There's maybe some four-letter words and stuff coming from that. But apparently what it was there were some outside agitators coming in, you know, older folks who wanted to sit down, who had tickets around there and wanted to go hang with them. And the legends are trying to keep it PG-13.
Yeah, because I saw they tweeted that something about they try not to cuss and get too rambunctious and inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you can be insulting. I always thought, if you have to rely on a bunch of four-letter words, you're really just not that creative and an insulter, right?
When you can infuriate a guy by talking to
without
him.
Without cursing.
And, yeah.
Without getting, like, sexual overtones or your mom, your what, you know, whatever. When you can really get under a guy's skin like that, that's when you're a world-class trash talker to me. But that's apparently what was going on there. And when I was there Saturday, I didn't hear anything untoward.
Folky got to hang out with him.
Saw that, yeah. Brought him popcorn.
The two best things on campus right now, John Fulkerson and Tennessee baseball.
Set those guys up, looking good. So, yeah, what a weekend, man, over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We'll talk more Tennessee baseball next hour. Rusty Enzer is going to be on the show. We do have a spot right here. If you want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. Portions of our show brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control, your locally owned, veteran-owned HVAC specialist. They get it done out there, Blue Water Climate Control. And still, many people turning on their AC for the first time in the past week or two will be turning it on this week. It's been pretty cool. Pretty nice this week, but when you turn that AC on for the first time this year, if you have any problems, if it's not working like it should, you need to call our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. They'll send somebody out to fix it and fix it right and fix it right the first time. Call the guys who get it done. That's Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290. Also, don't forget, you schedule a spring heating and air tune-up with Blue Water between now and the spring game. Your name will be entered into a drawing to win two season passes. That's two tickets to all 8 UT home games this season. You can refer a friend and increase your chances to win. Drawing's going to be held on April the 26th, so that is a week from today. Call today, schedule your service, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com, 865-299-2290. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Excited about the orange and white game Saturday, Adam?
Maybe a little bit. Not as much as I have been for previous ones. But I know come fall, I'll be all in on Josh Heupel. So don't hold that against me right now. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, like we were talking about with Trey, I don't think it's necessarily anything against Heupel or Danny White, any of the new regime. I think this fan base just been put through the ringer. I think they will come back. I think they will be able to sell a decent amount of season tickets over the summer, and I think you're going to see some excitement start to mount up towards the end of July into August for football season. I think it will come back. I think it will. And I think we have a chance to surprise some people and have a decent season this year. I really do. But I don't detect that the fan base is there quite yet. And the good thing is the game is on TV, so you don't necessarily have to go down there. If you do want to come out, we're going to be hanging out with Clay Travis and our friend Chad Withrow, the Outkick crew. They're going to be doing a thing down in the Old City at the Old City Sports Bar from noon to 3:30 p.m. The game starts at 4?
Yes.
So you hang out, then walk down to the game?
Is it SEC Network Plus or just regular SEC Network?
That's a good question. Surely it's on the SEC Network. And they replay it every, you know, they'll replay it a billion times, right? But my thing with the spring game is, and this is whether the team is good or not, it's one of those things where you get all psyched up for it. You're excited to see so-and-so play and how does everything look. And I don't even know what the format is going to be this year, if it's going to be offense versus defense, or they're going to split up and draft and do some of those crazy things that they sometimes do. But
I just want to see somebody just launching bombs.
It's SEC Network Plus, according to Trey.
Well, that's insulting.
But usually, it's one of those things, as soon as the game starts, I lose interest almost immediately.
Yeah.
After the first series or two, it's like, oh, man, I don't even know who's in the game. If the offense is doing well, does that mean we're doing well offensively, or does it just mean our defense suck?
And vice versa. I hate when they try and get creative with it. Like that one year, I know they did like passing competition.
The crazy scoring system.
Yeah.
Just, and it ends up being 117-92.
Just give me a football game.
Let's talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan, up first today on The Drive. Hello, TJ.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hey, man, doing well. What's up?
Not a lot. Hey, saw the news that Tennessee, I mean, Jesus Christ, y'all are killing it in baseball, man.
Having a nice season so far. I mean, would have liked to have won the series this past weekend against Vandy, but Saturday was a lot of fun. You didn't get swept. Still top five in the country. Still a lot of momentum and positive vibes around this program. So, yeah, things are going well.
Yeah, no kidding. Not sure if you saw, but that team up north above you guys have a top 10 recruiting football class so far.
Well, that's what happens when you come down and get your players from the Volunteer State, TJ. Mark Stoops has built a winner there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've had better football program than Tennessee for, I mean, even though it hasn't shown up on the field every year, I'd say Kentucky football, generally speaking, like over the past decade or so, has been better than Tennessee.
Well, that being the case, I wish we could have gotten some more wins on the field from it. So at least you guys have that. I think going back to the day with you guys and Florida also, I think it was more of a monkey on the back, a mental block more than anything between you and Florida.
Well, I mean, you guys know about that too. Yeah, I mean, it's just and it sadly is still there, I think, for Tennessee.
For sure.
It's just Tennessee does not play well against the Florida Gators and hasn't really for the past 30 years with any regularity anyway. But, looking at Kentucky's record since Stoops has been there. They're 49-50 since 2013. Hickman, can we add up Tennessee's record here during the break? I can help you with this. 2013 to present, do you think that we are above 500 in that time span?
Slightly below it, I believe.
I'd say maybe we're right around. I'd say it's very similar.
Probably like a 49%, 50%.
Because Butch did go 9-4 twice, but he also had the 4-8, and then we had 3-7 this year, and a couple of, I think, 5-7s at the beginning of the Butch tenure. We'll add that up. It'll be interesting to see.
But too, you gotta think, and I'll get off here after this comment. You got to think of the program that Stoops took over from that Joker. The big Joker, man, he was a joke. Stoops went 2-10 his first season. Football's almost here. So
we are truly living in La La Land. Thank you, TJ. Appreciate you, buddy. When Tennessee fans have baseball fever and Kentucky fans are looking forward to football. What is going on here in 2021? It's absolutely bizarre. Stay with us. Adam will have your top four at four coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.